Hey, what's up, fellow Boston sports fans? Steve and Chris here. Tonight's episode, or today's episode, depending on when you listen to it, we have big Jim Murray making a return appearance from 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're going to talk a lot about Red Sox, how he thinks they're going to do the rest of the season, things like that. Also, going to get into a little music and concerts and stuff that he's been to. Chris and I are then going to talk about Patriots training camp and first game of preseason coming up, what we're going to be looking for during preseason, things like that. So enjoy. Here we go. Hey, we're now joined by Big Jim Murray. How's it going, man?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Red Sox, I know, well, Chris and I listen to you guys as show pretty much every day, and you finally taken down the asterisk with the Red Sox, which is
I know I was semi reluctant to, but I would have been crazy not to after the series against the Yankees. I mean, they really, in the last week, the one win against Philadelphia in extras, and then how they showed in that four-game sweep, especially with two of them being comeback wins in game one and game four, like they're a legit team. And so, yeah, the asterisk comes down. They're on pace for, this ridiculous 110, 113 win season. And here I am eating a little crow.
Well, I do that all the time. Sounds like 5-0 is not far away.
Yeah, he's coming up strong here behind me. We got a Stady trying to get through the tunnel, so
Fun.
thankfully he's not on my ass.
There you go. See, I'm on the other side of the fence. I want the asterisk put back on. Simply because so many people are bitching and moaning about that thing. It's become like a rallying cry now, just to piss people off. I think it should go back on, personally.
Yeah, and I know you can make the case too, until they actually prove that they're this good of a team in the playoffs, it should probably stay. But I mean, my whole premise of it going up on there is that I think it was their win-loss record was weighted. I kind of couldn't take them all that seriously because they're beating up on the dregs of the league, like Baltimore, who they seemingly, or Toronto, who they're seemingly playing every other week. So I was like, okay, like, yeah, they're good. They're fun. They certainly seem to have a little bit more stones, especially with the way Mookie Betts is playing and his late game heroics that you've seen a few times this year. It's like, okay, they've taken a step in terms of looking like a different team, but I mean, how serious can you take this? After the Yankee series, like, I get it. Like, it's the asterisk shouldn't be on there. They're a damn good team. They're the class of the league right now. I still think the Astros are better in terms of playoff experience, but the Red Sox deserve to be talked about as the class of the league.
Oh, definitely. Well, I agreed on the asterisk part. The only part I liked about being on, just how pissy people got with it being on in the first place. It's just stupid. Like, get real. But it
That's the
is what
fun
it
of it.
is, you know. Oh, yeah.
Right.
People like, and I see the text messages that came your way. Well, not text, but the tweets, and maybe you get texts too. Who the hell knows? But then on the radio, you're reading them off. I'm like, astonished. I'm like, Jesus. People take the asterisk so damn serious, and it's kind of like it's a radio spot, guys. And chill out, smoke a doob or have a beer or whatever. Just chill. My good God.
Well, especially because I went dark on Twitter for like 5 days when I was on vacation. I literally didn't tweet one thing about the series. I got caught up with it all when I got back, and it was like, oh my God, like I guess in terms of, like you say, it kind of being like a radio bit or whatever, like it worked because here I am like living in people's heads, and I didn't say one damn thing about it for almost a week.
That's awesome.
How was vacation, by the way?
It was great. So my buddies and I, these guys I worked with in radio for years, this was now the 11th year that we've done it. We city trip where we fly to one, we drive to two, and it's mostly based around steakhouses and seeing the country. But we're running out of cities because we've done it so many times. So this year we went to the vacation hotspots of Indianapolis, Detroit, and Buffalo. So
Oh, no
it was
shit.
not scenic, but it wasn't scenic, but it was a lot of fun.
Well, that's half of it anyways. Thompson?
It's good to get away for a few days, definitely. So, like the Red Sox, the bullpen, is that still a concern for you? I mean, it is for me, but then I kind of was like looking at Matt Barnes' stats recently, and I don't know, he's having like a career year. So, it's, I guess, how do you feel about it? I almost feel a little bit better after.
Yeah, you could say that statistically, you can make a case for Barnes, you can make a case for Kelly, you could even make a case for Heath Hembree, but you got to use your gut and your eyes, I think, when it comes to those situations where, you know, you're talking about a high leverage eighth inning, up by one run, man on first and second. Do you realistically trust either of those three or really anyone else in that bullpen, not named Craig Kimbrell, in a situation like that? I just don't. I don't, because time and again, those guys, when they're just trying to hang on to a one-run lead or a couple-of-run lead against, you know, better teams, they seem to blow it. Like, they got the stuff. I just don't think that they have the stones. And Dave Dombrowski really didn't address that by the trade deadline, by adding another arm and some of the bridge to Kimbrell, I think was almost negligent. Like, I'm still stunned that he didn't do it, considering his past in building bullpens or lack thereof. So I'm still strongly concerned about that. I still think that that's the weak link of this team.
What's even more surprising is that he didn't address that during the off season when he realistically should have, and he wouldn't have been in a position where you're looking for it at the trade deadline. So I'm a little bit nervous. Even Kimbrell makes me nervous, honestly. He hasn't looked very good lately.
Right. Shaky couple of weeks for him. You know, look, he's still – their best guy in that bullpen without question, but you're right. Like it's been a shaky couple of weeks for him. So, you know, if he's coming in for a 4 or 5 out save, it seems to be more often than not, it's a roller coaster ride with him.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. They seem to be banking on Thornburg, who that's kind of a risky proposition. If you ask me, the guy's been hurt a lot, just kind of coming back and, hey, let's throw him in the eighth inning of a playoff series. What bad can happen?
Right, but at least he's looked better too. So maybe that's what you know. That's what he's hanging his hopes on. So fine, you know, him and that Braziers or Brazier, whatever the hell, however you say his name. Like that kid's looked good too. But still, they need to prove it to me.
Absolutely. So switching gears a little bit. I'm a music guy myself. How many concerts have you been able to get to this year?
This year. Oh, man. It's been a...
Well, recently.
Yeah, so let's see. So my girl and I made a pact a little while back when, you know, unfortunately, when, like, David Bowie and Prince were dying and it seemed like all these iconic acts were passing away and I had missed out on so many of them that we said, like, okay, even if someone comes to town that we don't really care about, like, we should go see him. So sometimes we've been surprised and the show's been great, like Dolly Parton, and then sometimes we've went and it's been like whatever and like Stevie Nicks. But this summer, okay, let's see, we went to, so case in point, we saw the Eagles. Like, I'm not like the biggest Eagles fan, but we went and saw them. They were great.
Nice.
Vince Gill's awesome, filling in as you know, the not Don Henley, the one that died. Filling in for him on guitar. No, Joe Walsh is still alive, even though he looks like a cadaver.
Oh, is he? Wow. I thought he was dead already. Damn.
So, yeah, so we saw them. What else? I've been to Depeche Mode. I saw...
Wow. That was a trip back to the day.
Right. They were great. Saw Beck, who is whatever. Let's see, who else? I just saw, Radiohead, which were great.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like every few weeks, I feel like I'm going to something. So even if it's not someone I really even genuinely, like, give that much of a damn about, I'll go. As long as, you know, tickets are available. I was supposed to go to Billy Joel this week, but something came up, so I'm trying to unload a ticket to that. So I think it's important to go to concerts as much as you can afford, you know?
Oh, definitely. I could probably talk, like, we could have, like, war stories basically talking about the shows. I used to go to a ton of shows. I actually missed the Slayer show up in Guilford because I had surgery the day after my birthday. It was Slayer, Anthrax, Testament.
Lamb of God.
Lamb of God. Yeah, I missed it. Go figure. Supposed to be my birthday present. I had surgery the next day. Wicked bummed out because it's the last tour that Slayer's doing. So, yeah.
What'd you have done to your leg?
No, I actually had shoulder surgery done. I had rotator cuff surgery.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there contemplating to myself, should I actually try to give this a go in the sling? Let me think. It's Lamb of God. It's Slayer. Probably not a good idea.
Yeah, you were probably better to sit that one out, unfortunately.
Right. It sucks, but it is what it is. But you got anything else, Thompson?
Nah, I mean, I think we're good.
Right on.
Oh, can you do a Happy Walters impersonation before you head out?
Sure. Yeah, I can't access like the whistle and whatever because I'm driving. But yeah, let's see. Hey, it's Happy Walters. I put Danny Ainge over a barrel and got Marcus Smart all the money this summer. Woohoo!
That's awesome.
Beautiful. Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Enjoy the workout.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. Yeah, hit me up again sometime if you want me to come on. Just let me know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we'll do it, man.
All right, take care. Thank you.
You too.
Bye. Have a good one.
That's awesome. Man. That's awesome.
Ah, oh, man. He's pretty damn talented with us on the spot, you know, stuff that he comes up with.
Oh, he's ridiculously like good. Yeah, he's like got talent.
Well, no doubt. He had that off-air show that I kept hearing on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm hearing this sound over and over and over, the intro music at the end. I'm like, Jesus Christ, where the hell have I heard this before? And then it dawns on me, it's the opening of Contra.
Oh,
back
wow.
In the day, the old friggin' game me and you used to play at your house years ago.
Wow.
I'm
holy
like,
crap.
No way. I'm like, it's Contra. I'm like, holy, like you said, I'm like, damn. But yeah,
wow, that's
that would be scary because if we have, me and him ever actually sat down and went over like the concerts that we've seen and the bands we've seen.
Yeah.
It would probably fill up like their day. Like we could probably go 4 or 5 hours deep, easy.
Holy
easy,
crap.
I bet. Wow. Oh yeah. I've seen, Jesus, probably 500 bands in my life, probably.
Yeah.
From huge names that everyone and their brother knows to the bands that not many people know at all.
Yeah. Holy damn.
But yeah. It's been a ride, but it
that's
is
impressive.
You know, my days of the show is over now. I can't do what I used to do. I mean, now I've reached that point in my life where if I go to a show, I just want to kind of sit down and watch and not do the crowd thing anymore.
Oh, the mosh pit.
My body has officially told me no. It's just not going to happen any longer. So what am I going to do? Could I have gone to the show? Probably not, realistically.
Right.
And if I did was able to go, I wouldn't have enjoyed myself. I mean, that day I had surgery Tuesday, so I was fine Tuesday, and I was okay when I went home. Wednesday I saw the nerve block, so I was still feeling a little
okay.
I felt a little okay, but I wasn't like totally sore. But come that day of the concert when the nerve block and everything wore off, like, holy hell, I'm going to die.
Damn.
And it was a rough shape. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I've known other people who have done it. And I just say the recovery for that is just brutal.
It is. I mean, I don't want to waste our whole time on the podcast talking about my shoulder. I mean, I don't think anyone wants to hear, like, my shoulder horror stories, unless you want me to tell you exactly what they did and we can move along.
Yeah, you can do that, yeah.
Basically, what happened was I had two tears in my shoulder. They weren't a full-thickness tear. They were two-thirds deep. They had to sew me up there. They had to give me a bicep tendinesis, which is a part where they put the anchor into my shoulder and kind of where they have the part that's been sewed up kind of sits there. They removed some bone spurs in my shoulder and they took out a part of my collarbone. For whatever reason, the collarbone was irritating the bicep tendon or some damn thing. It was irritating something in my shoulder. I don't know how big it was, but basically 4 procedures. They figure 6 months if everything goes right. And I'm actually 2 weeks out of surgery today. So things are kind of going along. It sucks not being asleep very well because I have to sleep sitting up. That sucks. It's just brutal. I don't know if I'd probably do it again if I had to, but hopefully this is it for me and my first surgery. You know, funny part of that surgery, I'll just tell what happened in the operating room before we jump along here.
Yeah.
I got all in my gear or whatever. They said run the test, give me the nerve block, and they hooked me up to the oxygen tank, the mask, and they sat to give me the injection to put me to sleep. Well, it kind of burned like hell a little bit, like almost like a bee sting. And instantly, I look over to my left where the person's doing it, and I'm ready to say, "You mother bleep." I couldn't get the words out and put me to sleep.
Really?
Holy crap. I said, "Oh, you mother," and looked over, and that was the end of it. I woke up in the recovery room.
Like somebody flipped the switch.
Yeah.
Wow.
Surgery took about 2 hours, a little over two, maybe 2 hours and 15 minutes. So when the time it took for surgery, what was 2 hours and 15 minutes was a blink of an eye for me.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't see, sometimes you hear these stories of how people see crap and everything else. I didn't see nothing. I was just in and out, boom. Just like I got knocked unconscious and I come to right off the bat.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. I woke up and my arm was to my side. I mean, normally the sling, I woke up with the sling and I'm like kind of looking around. And the first three things I say is, where am I? What time is it? And where's my wife? Those are three things I said to the nurses. And then I kind of dozed off a little bit, and I woke up, and I said the same thing. I kept asking for my wife. Where's my wife at? Mm-hmm. And went out and got her, brought her in the room. So, we're in the wrong business, though, because it was like $56,000 for two hours and 15 minutes worth of surgery.
Holy crap, really?
Yeah, go figure, right? They must have had enough anesthetics to knock out a horse, I guess, to make it that high. Jesus. Crazy, right? Because you get charged with the anesthesia, and you get charged with the actual surgery.
Right, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, we should probably move along to something else.
Yeah, so... Yeah, moving on. What else can we talk about with the Red Sox? Big Jim pretty much said it. They've 80 wins, which is ridiculous when you think about it, start of the season.
Oh, I've got the fever. It's over for me. You know how things are. Me and you are two people who try like hell not to get caught up in things because normally when we do, disaster strikes.
Right, yeah.
So... I can't help it anymore. We're in August, and I already have pennant fever already.
Yeah, and I think I tweeted it yesterday. It's like this team has the it factor.
Yeah.
It's a lot like 13 in that way, like how they just, they were never out of it. And Sunday night sealed it down 4-1. You think, what the hell? And you're going to get the Yankees win one, and then bam, tied up.
Right. It's not just, the fact that the Red Sox swept the Yankees. It's how they swept them.
Yeah.
I mean, game one, they absolutely throttled them. Porcello comes out and just throws an absolute one-hit gem. 86 pitches for a complete game. That's unheard of.
All right.
You know how efficient you have to be to throw 86 pitches in a complete game one-hitter? That is crazy.
Yeah, I think it was like, what, 60-something pitches for strikes, too?
Yeah, I mean, brutally efficient. And then Saivaldi, as I like to call him now. I'm hoping that starts trending at some point.
Yeah, oh, it will.
Come Saturday. How dominant was he? I mean, people scoffed at the pickup, but he's going to be a weapon. And I don't believe I'm just saying that with tinted Red Sox sunglasses on. The man is going to be an absolute machine for this team. He very well could be that eighth inning guy for you. He pounds the strike zone. That's one thing that's – he doesn't walk. I think I saw a stat. I'm not 100% certain on this, but I think I saw he only got the ball three that entire time, like four or six batters.
Holy crap.
He's got, as we speak, his Red Sox career is currently sitting on 15 scoreless innings for Eovaldi right now. So the score ended up being, what was it, 4-1? Yeah, 4-1 was the final.
Yeah.
That game really wasn't that close either, despite the score. That was a little bit misleading. The Red Sox pretty much had that game at will. Now we move on to Sunday in the game that everyone was looking forward to. How was David Price going to perform on Sunday Night Baseball after the last time he was going against the Yankees at Sunday Night in New York? He got throttled. To me, he passed the test entirely.
Yeah.
On Sunday. You know, and the other people were saying they didn't have Sanchez, they didn't have Judge. That's a fair point. I'll give you that. But he did what he had to do, and the fact that he didn't get the win is pretty crappy for him, I think.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
But I think he's turned the corner. He's been pitching pretty damn well lately.
Yeah, he seems to be throwing more, like, off-speed stuff.
A lot of cutters, too.
Yeah.
A lot of cutters.
I wonder if he's trying to save his elbow.
And the thing is, he looks like he's happy out there.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, his teammates are behind him, you can tell.
I mean, despite all the crap that he puts up with in this town, and he puts up with a lot of it, he's got to appreciate the stand ovation that he got. It had to have felt good to him.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Like, I'm sitting there in a sling, and I'm, like, contemplating getting up and doing it myself. I'm like, because you know as well as I do, I've hammered him.
Oh, yeah, most of us have. But
really, at this stage of the game, this season, I haven't really, I don't think, been that hard on him, really. I've kind of basically just let the chips fall where they're going to fall.
Yeah, even when he had that, like, three-game stretch in a row where he was, like, horrendous. I don't think we railed on him at all.
No, I don't think so. I think both of us have been kind of, like, chilled about him.
Right.
Which is a little unusual, but...
Right. Big step for us.
Huge step. If this was last year, I would have been going berserk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if this was the last year we're recording this, I would have blasted him without a performance Sunday.
Oh, yeah. We'd have to mark that episode as explicit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. It would have been like, oh, man. But listen, we need him. Period. Sox need David Price. Whether it's in some capacity out of the bullpen, or as your number two or your number three. Obviously, we know Sales one. And then make up your mind. Porcello two or Price two?
Yeah. Oof.
If you're going to go with a four-man rotation and you have the keys to the castle, how are you lining things up?
Ooh. Or you'd have to go Sale. I'd probably go Price too. Porcello. And I'd put Evaldi fourth.
Right.
I don't, see, some will say, yeah.
I know you were talking about Rodriguez at the fourth spot.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't know, because is he healthy or not? Like, if he's healthy, yeah.
Well, he's had two bullpen sessions. Friday, he's going to throw a live bat in practice, and then they're going to reevaluate him. So far, so good on the Rodriguez front.
Yeah, I mean, if he comes back and pitches well, yeah, you got to put him there instead of Evaldi, probably.
See, to me, I'm going Sale, Porcello, Bryce, Evaldi. Just because I like the left-right combo. And I think Rodriguez would do good in the bullpen, too, and I think Evaldi would. But if Evaldi keeps pitching like this, you can't take him out of the rotation. That's crazy.
Yeah,
you can't do it. I mean, if he's going to pitch lights out like this, he's got to be a starter.
Oh, I agree. Definitely.
Whether this continues or not, we're going to find out. But he's going to be a weapon in some form for this team, whether it's the bullpen or it's the rotation. He's pitching great right now.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a decent move, but I don't think any of us could have imagined he'd have 15 shutout innings.
No, probably not. That's and a lot of the moves that Dombrowski has made has been low cost. Even the Kinsler trade, which unfortunately he got hurt, but look, he's making awesome plays out in the field.
Right, yeah, that was a great.
We got something going here. And you got him for two AAA relievers.
Yeah, who probably weren't going to see the big leagues anytime soon.
Probably not with the Red Sox, but you never know going forward.
Right, yeah.
I mean, the thing that sucks for Dombrowski and the Sox was they were in on Herrera, and the Nationals just been changed course. And then I think, like, I was talking to you off, well, not obviously off air, but the other day, and I think with Herrera, when Dombrowski came out and said, well, this is probably our last move with Kinsler, I think at that point he had heard the news that Nationals going another direction.
Right.
I would say, so.
Yeah, and Steve Pierce, that's been a great move.
Yeah, again, I forgot about Pierce.
Right. Yeah, I think some people kind of get tied up into if they don't make the move on deadline day, it doesn't count as much. It's like, that's kind of nuts, you know. Because a lot of those moves are, what, 2-3 weeks ahead of that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so he kind of beat other GMs to the punch.
If you really sit back and think about it, he really hasn't had a bad season, Dombrowski.
No, he's been pretty good. I just hope, you know, the bullpen move doesn't come back to bite him in the
butt.
That's
just it. That's the issue. You just hope the hell it doesn't come back like you said and get you.
Yeah, I mean, let's just say they go on to win the whole thing. He's got to get an A at least for the moves.
Oh, manager of the year if they win the whole World Series.
GM? Oh, yeah.
GM, they got to, I think as far as the manager, the AL manager, it's got to go to Cora. If he doesn't win that, then he's getting the Brad Stevens thing thrown at him.
Yeah. Yeah, give it to Aaron Boone.
Get into that. Aaron Boone. You want to talk about a guy who fell into his job strictly because of one hit? Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone has no business at all being a major league coach. At all.
Yeah.
He only got that job because he friggin' did his crap during 2003.
Yep.
That's it. If that doesn't happen, Aaron Boone's not the manager of the Yankees right now.
Oh, no way. And, like, if George was still in charge, no way in heck that move ever gets made.
No, no way. I still can't believe they rolled Girardi like that.
Yeah, he was pretty good. Like, I respected him as the Yankee manager. Like, he was pretty good. You know, he made some good moves. He seemed to be pretty good with, like, when to take the pitcher out or whatever. And for whatever reason, they just went a different direction.
Right.
Like, complete 180. You know, he gets them to game 7 of the ALCS. Yep, see you later.
Yeah, imagine that.
But that's totally un-Yankee-like, really.
One game away from the World Series and you get canned.
Right. When realistically, like, they weren't expected to go that far last year.
No. I mean, it wasn't like he had a Grady Little moment. I hate myself for even saying I freaking hate myself for even bringing that out.
No, he didn't. You're right. Yeah, there wasn't one move to be like, what the heck are you doing? You know? Not one of those, what are you smoking in the bench area? Nothing. It was just, they got beat by the better team. Yeah, they did him dirty. That's probably money related.
I'm sitting there trying to get myself refocused after seeing talking about him.
Hey, it's over. They made up for it the next year.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah,
I couldn't move on myself. That was a long, long off season.
Oh, that was brutal. Like, I couldn't watch TV especially, for a month.
Especially because I really feel they would have won the whole damn thing that year.
Yeah, wasn't that the year that the Rockies beat the Yankees?
No, Miami.
Oh, Florida. That's right. All right.
That's when Beckett went my years. Crazy.
Yeah, I got my years mixed up.
Right. That was like the Diamondbacks, what, 2001?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was Schilling, which is great.
You know, I'm going to get into something about Schilling, why you just brought it up.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people will sit back and they'll harp on Curt Schilling about his takes, his political views, his whole media stuff, whatever the case may be. You're entitled to that.
Yeah.
But Jesus, what he pitched in the postseason. Holy Christ. He was a machine in the postseason.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get in the whole bloody sock, you know, did he, was it fake, was it this, was it that, whatever. I'm not going to get into that situation. Right. I'm just talking about him as a pitcher in the postseason. Nails. I would roll with him in a game 7 any day of the week. But boy, there's a lot of people that hate him.
Yeah.
Political views, but I don't want to get into turn this into like a big political, hoopla. But when it comes to, you know, playoff pitching, him, he's nasty. Beckett was nasty in his time. That's what you want to see, Pedro. To an extent now, do we have anyone on that team right now who can legitimately say is the guy? Because I don't think we do. Yeah, nothing proven to those levels.
Right. No, I mean, as like far as a baseball analyst, Schilling's awesome.
Right.
He's incredible.
He's a hell of a lot better. He's a hell of a lot better than a lot of the people you see on ESPN now.
Oh, yeah, that Sunday night crew is brutal. My God.
It's rough, isn't it? It's hard to
watch. Yeah.
I'm like sitting there, I'm like, got the game on my phone. You know, I got to like the volume off, I don't want to listen to it. So I'm kind of keeping an eye on that. And I'm watching Sons of Anarchy with my wife, and I'm kind of getting my eye down and kind of doing a back and forth thing. And they decide to lose. I'm like, oh, crap. Here we go. They got one. And you know, at that point, I wasn't really upset because to me, they're figuring they lost. It didn't even really affect me. It kind of annoyed me a little bit because I felt Price's pitching performance was wasted.
Big time.
That's the main thing I was there. I don't think even if the Yankees won, they would have had saved face at that point. I mean, you come in and you got pounded. Let's be real. And then who was the pitcher that came in and up and in on Stanton? What the hell was that? Anyways, one of
the
Red Sox pitcher came up and in on Stanton, and he was just like put in after. He didn't want any part of being up at the plate.
Pretty sure that was Porcello.
Yeah, Porcello. And I'm sure a lot of that stems from him getting hit in the face with a baseball.
Oh, yeah.
My question to you is, why aren't people brushing him off the plate more?
You might see it now after a lot of teams see that reaction.
You just seen it where he just shrugged his shoulders and he didn't want anything to do with it. He wanted out of that box.
Yeah, he like waved at the next few pitches.
Yeah, he wanted out. It was like the time during the All-Star game where Big Unit threw the ball over John Kruk's head.
Right.
And he was like, nah, I'm all done. I'm out of here. I want to talk about another freaking animal. 6'10", Randy Johnson. You had no chance when he was on.
No, you remember when he disintegrated that bird?
That was just a quick poof, and that was
your Like something you see in the movies. That was crazy.
Yeah, right. It's like you're watching something like The Naked Gun or something.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Crazy like that. Like, wow. Think about the odds of something like that even happening. One in a million.
Oh yeah. Like he couldn't do that again if he tried.
No, no way. He's just kind of looking like, holy crap, did that just happen?
Right. Ball.
And then and then he was in Seattle when he was with the Mariners going against McGuire and them when he was in Oakland. And he threw a ball to McGuire. McGuire hit that ball probably 530 feet plus.
Mm.
I mean, he went way, way back. And you pull it up on YouTube. For all the listeners who haven't seen it, pull up Mark McGuire against Randy Johnson at the old Kingdome. Way, way back. I mean, that ball hasn't landed yet. It's crazy. I mean, all of it.
Yeah.
And Randy Johnson was like three digits at the time he's throwing. His fastball, his slider was just stupid. What are you going to do? He's 6'10", 6'11". By the time he reaches back and unloads Lois, his arm's just about there on top of you. What are you going to do?
Hope.
Exactly. Just close your eyes and swing. And then you got McGuire there putting one on the moon from him. I was like, holy crap. Nuts. It's wild time in baseball back then.
Oh, big time. So you want to jump into the Patriots?
Sure.
You got three guys coming off the PUP list today. Cyrus Jones is back. Nate Ebner and Jonathan Jones all practiced today, which is a good sign.
Nice.
I don't know, Cyrus Jones, like before he got hurt in preseason, he was actually looking better.
Right.
So let's see. Well, I mean, they need it.
You know, Ebner, he's pretty much strictly a special teamer for the most part.
Yeah.
Jones is actually not bad. I don't mind him.
Nah, he was pretty good in the slot until he got hurt.
Cyrus Jones is kind of doing his thing. You got Duke Dawson kind of doing his thing. He got burnt today in practice.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how well he's actually doing. I keep hearing his name, But 9 out of 10 times, it's not normally in the good light. So I don't think he's having that great of a camp, Duke Dawson.
Yeah, we'll find out Thursday.
Right.
First game.
Well, that's just it. I mean, the preseason's kind of like, you know, I don't put much stock in the preseason at all. The only game I care about is the third one.
Right.
So you kind of pretty much see where you're at that point. Other than that, it's the bottom half of your roster who's trying to make an impression and first-year people. You don't see people like the Hightowers and this and that playing much.
Oh, God, no. No. Last thing they need is him on the field.
Yeah, the exactly. Less as possible. Patriots are going to be interesting this year. I think the defense is going to turn some heads.
Yeah, me too. I think they're going to be a lot better than people give them credit for. They're pretty deep at cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Hightower, you have Van Noy, who, yeah, like we just said, it's only training camp, but supposedly he looks pretty darn good. You know, some of the rookies, are they going to be able to stick? Like Sam Kidd, how's he going to do? You know, Claiborne, still no one's talking about him. I don't know why. That guy can be a pass rush machine. Dietrich Wise, his second year. Yeah.
Well, that's just it. I think you just hit it on the head. I think Dietrich Wise is having such a phenomenal camp that he's overshadowing Claiborne.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, you're right. Claiborne has his moments where he can be lights out, and then he has days where he can disappear.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you got Derek Rivers, too, like coming back from
his ACL last year.
He was supposed to be a good pass rusher coming out of college.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get the McCourties, both of them, you know. Devin, we all know what he is. How's Jason going to fit in here? I think he's going to be pretty darn good for some reason.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't really thought about him that much.
Yeah, I think he's going to fit in. I mean, he's obviously got his brother. That's, knock on wood, I don't think you're going to see a lot of communication issues with him just because Devin's here teaching him. And he knows. This is probably his last big chance.
I think as far as people who actually get it, the Patriot defense, McCord is probably at the top of that list.
Oh, big time, yeah.
At least in the secondary. At least in the secondary, he's definitely, like, the vocal. Like, when I was talking to Christopher Price, when I was talking about Gilmore being the alpha dog, well, talent-wise, like he said, I believe he is.
Yeah.
Probably the true leader of the secondary, not probably, is McCourty.
Yeah, that. Like, I'm a huge Chung fan.
Chung's underrated. You don't hear much about him. He just goes in and does his job. He takes care of the tight end, and that's pretty much it.
Oh, he's got to be, pound for pound, the toughest guy on the team. That guy, like, some of the injuries, you think, oh, crap, this is it. Nope. One playoff, here he is.
Yeah.
It's like, holy crap, dude, really? Like, you see his ankle go sideways or something. Oh, Jesus. One playoff. Yep, here he is. It's like, wow.
Put some duct tape on and ascend it.
Right. That magic spray they use in soccer.
Oh, my God, yeah. Crazy.
Looks like the guy gets shot and then he gets sprayed with aerosol. Oh, it's good to go.
He's a force, like you said. No one really talks about Chung.
No, you mentioned it. He's good at covering most tight ends. He can stuff the run when he needs to. But Hightower, he's got to stay healthy.
You need him.
That's the whole key. I mean, we saw that in the Super Bowl. He is absolutely the key.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no question about that. You have to keep him healthy.
Yeah, I mean, even if he sits out a couple of games during the year, fine. You know, sit him out against the Jets or something.
If I was Flores and Belichick, as far as Hightower goes, I would use him as a roamer somewhat. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I necessarily would keep him at the linebacker position. I'd creep him up on the line from time to time, like yeah. they used to with some of their old linebackers back in the day.
Big Willie. Exactly.
Yeah, right. Don't do it to me. You're going to get me distracted. Anyways, you prick. Anyways, you know, Hightower's got that ability where you can be an edge pass rusher.
Right.
So use it. Van Noy can communicate in the middle.
Oh, easy.
He was doing it last year when Hightower is out. So I don't think you need the Hightower every single play. Just rotate him in and out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Flores does. I hope he does some wrinkles because I think the league's kind of caught up with their defense. I think they got to switch it up a little.
It's definitely possible.
Yeah, offense too. They should like throw some crap in, change it up. I mean, they've basically been a Mark team for what, 18 years. People study them like they're trying to cure something. They got to switch it up. Yeah, they got to switch it up a little. Use the backs more. Especially with Edelman out. They got to switch it up. Gronk, you don't want him.
Right. This team reminds me of a lot like that team where Brady was up for the first 4 weeks. As far as Edelman, you're just trying to get to the point where he's back. Kind of stay afloat, so to speak. You're thin at wide receiver. You don't know if Britt's going to be healthy. I mean, who knows? He's always dinged up, it seems. Dorsett's having a hell of a camp, and I believe wholeheartedly he's going to be a force this season. He's going to turn heads.
Oh, Chris, a hot take.
People can at me on Twitter all they want, and, you know, I'll answer the tone, but Dorsett, I think, is going to have a great season. I really believe he's going to.
It's his first really full year here.
He's been putting the work in every day. He's been doing the extra time with Brady. I'm feeling it. He's going to have a good year. You know how it was last year about Dwayne Allen. I couldn't let it go.
Right.
No matter what, I always say weekly, here it comes. Here comes the touchdown. Here it comes. It's coming this week. It never came.
Well, you got one.
But the man was an absolute force in the running game. He can block like an animal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, like we were saying, too, like Gronk, you don't want him getting the crap beat out of him every week.
No. So, speaking of Gronk, who you want as the backup? You're comfortable with Hollister there if you don't have Dwayne Allen? He's having a good year.
Yeah, I'm okay
with
that. He's
a big boy, like Gronk. Yeah. Some people think he's due for a breakout season, so you never know.
Just
he's
what,
kind of a Gronk
year,
clone.
Right.
Yeah. He's a big boy like Gronk, too. Obviously, he's not Gronkowski.
Right,
he's
yeah.
Not real. People think he's a moron and he's a meathead and he's this and that, Gronkowski, but everybody would want him on the team. And if they say no, they're lying. If someone comes out and says they don't want Gronkowski because he's this and that, they're full of it. Don't even waste your time at me about something like that, because I'm not going to even engage with you about something so ludicrous.
Yeah, that's stupid.
I mean, everyone says he's an idiot, he's a meathead, he's this, he's that. The guy hasn't spent a dime of his NFL signing bonuses or nothing.
Right.
He's living off of his endorsements. So he's not stupid. I think half of it with him is a game, honestly.
Yeah, it's his personality, you know. Do whatever.
Well, he's goofy as hell, I'll give you that.
Right.
But
yeah, which is great.
You can't stop him.
No.
If he's 100% healthy, you can forget it. one person's not going to stop him.
Nah, I mean,
and if you do stop him, he's going to take more than one guy, so you're opening up other people.
Right. Yeah, ask Pittsburgh if, how easy he is to stop.
Oh, it's crazy. You know? In all the years that you've watched football, we've watched football equally when it comes to years. Have you ever seen such a mismatch as him?
No. I mean, Mark Bavaro was pretty good. But
right. But Jesus.
Not like this. I mean, it's Bavaro, and then Gronk's kind of in his own little universe.
Yeah, quite literally half the time.
Yeah.
But football's definitely changed over the years, hasn't it?
Yeah, big time. Yeah, I can't wait for Thursday just to see how all the new guys are coming along. It's been a long offseason.
Right. Is there anyone in particular you want to keep your eye on?
The linebacker is like that Sam kid. I want to see how he does.
You got Sam fever, do you?
Yeah, Bedard got me on that.
Remember Bedard, who was talking about Butler, Adam Butler, and he was getting boxed, and all of a sudden he's making plays like crazy.
Right? You're like, who the hell is this? Oh, this is Adam Butler. Oh, my God. Yeah, he should be pretty good, too, this year.
Yeah, you know? You got Sheldon.
Yeah.
I want to see what's up with him.
Yeah.
That's another player that's gotten on the radar. Wise, Malcolm Brown, Trey Flowers, another one of my favorites.
Yeah.
See, like I always say, and everyone who listens to the show knows, I'm a defense dude.
Yeah.
First. Offense gets all the glory, but I'm all about hearing that horn go off, you know, on third down.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, a month from now, there's going to be a surprise trade or a cut.
Yeah, it could be. Like your post about Mac. Yeah, it's not realistic. It probably is not going to happen. But I'm salivating at the bit in my own world thinking about it.
Right. Make it happen, Bill. Shaq Mason for him.
I would do it.
Yeah.
I would do it.
In a second.
And I love Shaq Mason. Don't get me wrong. But I think you have a replacement already there who could take over.
Yeah, there's a few.
You put Mac with Hightower, look out.
Right.
Mac's not just some random person down the road. He's a top five linebacker across the board all day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like you said, they have enough linemen that could fill in for Mason. You know, you get Trent Brown, who's training camp, you know, obviously back to the – it's only training camp, but he's looked damn good so far.
Your house.
You know, Joe Tooney's still kind of working his way back. What's that?
Right. What are you going to do with Trent Brown?
He's probably going to – right now, he's the starting left tackle.
I understand that, but
yeah.
How are you going to go about going against them?
I don't know. Good luck. You'd probably have two guys lined up against him.
One person's not doing it. He's just too damn big. He's like Hog Hanna. If he gets his hands on you, it's over. You're not going nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, and Scarnecchio fixes his technique.
Well, I'll get to him in a second. Glad you mentioned him. But what are you going to do? You're going to go around him? He's a house. He's just going to push you over.
All right.
You're going to go through him? Good luck. That ain't going to happen either. It's just crazy, the sheer size of that dude, and he's fast. That's the other scary thing. He's built like an oak tree, but he's quick.
Right.
So what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. As far as Dante goes, to me, the man doesn't get talked about nearly enough. He gets his praise. I get that. He is probably the best offensive lineman of my lifetime.
The coach?
Across the board.
Oh, yeah.
Scarnecchia.
Yeah. Easy.
Look at the year he took off. Brady was getting hit at a record clip. He comes back, boom. Back to normal. Everything's fixed. That's coaching. You can't beat it. And then today, something happened at practice. The offensive crew got sent to do a lap across the around the field from Bill Belichick. 70-year-old Scarnecchia doing a lap in this hot weather. He did it. Oh, my God. 70-year-old Dante Scarnecchia doing a friggin' lap. Can you imagine how that went down? Wow. Scarnecchia, you talking to me? I'm 70. What do you mean right. A lap? It's 105 out here right now. You want me to take a lap? I don't think so. Right. But he went and did it.
That's awesome.
I'd have been refusing. I'd have been like, Coach, I understand you want to do this little thing of team building, team unity. I'm in my 70s. I'm not doing a lap around the football field. It's not going to happen.
Wow.
Right?
Right.
Poor bastard. Oh, my God. That's
brutal.
He must have been like muttering to himself, oh, you some bitch. Sending me out here. I'm an old man, for Christ's sake. I don't need this crap. Damn. They're going to do good, though, as the Patriots. I mean,
yeah.
They always do what they got to do. People have a bullseye on them. Everyone's going to say this is the end. We've heard this ad nauseum for years. People keep saying it over and over and over and over because they want to be right, saying, well, I told you this is a year. Well, you've been saying this for like 10 years, so you're bound to be right.
Right. Not.
I mean, the problem is the whole key to the Patriots, obviously, is keeping Brady upright and going from there. If you lose Brady for any length of time, you're toast.
How do you think Decker is going to do?
Well, Decker's kind of a weird situation. He signed for $75,000 on a signing bonus. For that type of money, you don't know if he's even going to make the team or not. So yeah, I'm going to see what he does.
I think he'll be
crazy
around.
About it, but yeah. We'll see.
He'll probably be around at least until Edelman gets back.
The part that sucks is Malcolm Mitchell. That's the thing that sucks. Oh,
yeah.
What we all feared happened to him, that just physically injuries got in the way. And even Belichick said today, you know, he did everything humanly possible to get back out on the field, and he just couldn't do it.
Yeah, Bell, he's opened up more lately. I was kind of surprised.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Mitchell just says, I'm all done. Not even bother trying to sign.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if he,
The worst thing that could happen to him is he holds on for too long and he gets hurt permanent.
Right.
He's still, what, 24, 25?
Yeah, he's a really young old kid. No.
He has his whole life ahead of him. He's got to think about that. It just sucks because he was going to be such a weapon.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I mean, basically, the second half of that Super Bowl is one of the reasons they won.
Well, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, you think he had, what, 8 catches in the second half in overtime?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Oh, it's he's one of my favorite receivers.
Yeah, and I thought he was good.
Remember him in college.
Georgia boy.
Yeah, I remember him in college and just thinking like, oh man, if the Patriots could snag him somehow, and then bam, 4th round. You know, like, holy crap.
Yeah, I can't talk about the college game because I don't watch it very rarely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not religious about it or anything, but I watch the big games.
There are people who are downright fanatical about college football.
Right.
And I'm not that guy.
No.
So I'm not going to sit here and pretend, and you'll never see me acting like I know what the hell I'm talking about with college football, because it's yeah. bullshit. I don't watch it. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. But, yeah, Thursday can't come soon enough. They got the Red Sox and the Heat of the playoff push. Patriots. And in October, we'll have the Celtics and Bruins. As Vince McMahon says, business is about to pick up. Oh, no, Jim Ross. That's who would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes. Freaking A.
Yeah, can't wait. Great time of year, minus the snow.
Right, that's for sure. You got anything else? You all set?
Nah, I think we're good. Right, as always, good. You guys can find us on iTunes, on our website, www.diehardbostonsportsfans.com, WTPsports.com, thegruelingtruth.net, 12-ounce sports radio network. Definitely check out those guys. Jeff's a good dude. Mike's a good dude from Grueling Truth. Joe and those guys are good dudes at WTP Sports. Find us on Twitter. We play for titles. Diehard Boss Fans. Steve Hood Pod. Definitely follow the podcast, Mom. We definitely appreciate it. And if you're on iTunes or Google Play, do a review for us. Subscribe. Find us on Facebook at DiehardBostonSportsFans.com and also Steve and the Hood Present Boston Sports. Or if you want to, join the Facebook group. Where can we find you on Twitter, Chris?
I am Chris, CHRIS underscore Blackie, BLACKEY.
Cool. You got anything else to add?
No, I mean, it's been fun. We always appreciate everyone sharing and listening to our show. We hope for an hour or so of the week we can at least make you guys laugh a couple of times and give you something to think about. So
yeah, definitely. We
appreciate everybody.
Yeah, and thanks again to Big Jim Murray for coming on. Definitely appreciate it. We'll have you on again for sure.
Right. So the other thing we should probably mention is at some point here coming up, not now, but on our website, we should start getting some articles putting up from some writers.
Yep. Yeah, we're working on that.
Know when that happens.
Right? Yep, absolutely.
Well, guess that's it for me.
All right, everyone, thanks in advance for listening. Take it easy.